Yes, his word is true, and he is faithful. Let us be washed clean from our wicked ways. How many people could say that? The world, they would never think to call themselves wicked. But Yahshua said, he called them wicked. He said, if you, being wicked, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more the Father who is in heaven? He called us wicked, and we need to acknowledge our wicked ways and repent and be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. I love these words. You know, I was thinking over the break that if I was a pastor in a corporate 501c3 corporation, 501c3 status church, collecting tax-deductible donations from the flock out there, you know, from all the employees and all the employers of the U.S. government, and you know who they are because they have the identifying mark or number of that system. And if I was one of those pastors or preachers or teachers in one of those organizations, that, you know, I couldn't say some of the things that I'm saying. I would have a restraint. I would have a governor on me. I would have another master that would prevent me from saying these things. Not only that, saying these things would endanger my very livelihood, my bread and butter, my pension plan, my salary, and my medical plan. It would, and my mortgage, oh my goodness, what if I couldn't pay my mortgage? What if the church building couldn't pay its mortgage? I would have a governor on my mouth, another master preventing me from saying some of the things that I'm saying, wouldn't I? The Holy Spirit would not, I could preach anything I wanted. The Holy Spirit could move in me any way he wants, except where this other master controls me. Now, does that sound like a friendly environment for the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father? That he can move in any way he wants, except for where this other master has prohibited me, where I've entered into an agreement with a new master. And of course, I've entered into this agreement because, for privileges. For privileges, that's right. The privileges that come along with the agreement. The privilege of receiving hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars in tax-deductible donations. The privilege of receiving pension plans and benefits and medical plans and salaries. The privilege of getting loans at interest from the local bank. That's right, privileges. So many privileges, so many benefits from the world. And the world says, forget none of our benefits. Oh, well, we haven't forgot any of them, have we? And that's what I would say if I was one of those pastors. I remembered all their benefits. Yes, what benefit is there in living by faith? Yeah, Is God going to give me a medical plan? Is he going to give me a pension so I can retire when I get tired of fleecing the flock? Yes, just go on. Go on. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in Yahuwah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, excluding nothing. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahuwah. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your flesh, to your navel, and marrow to your bones. And then we go on. Honor. Chapter 3, verse 9. Honor Yahuwah, the Lord, with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. First fruits go to him. They don't go to another god. But you sign an agreement with an idol, with an image that someone has erected. It's an image. Well, you know it's an image because it's an, what do they call it? A fictitious entity. It's not corporeal. It's not real, you know. Show me the state of California, you know. Bring him here and let me speak with him. You can't. It's not the land, because the book says, my law says, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everyone that dwells therein. Yes, they've erected an image, and we bow down and worship it. The image makes its own laws, and we bow down and obey it. That's right. We placed it at all of its images before our God, before the creator of the universe. So rather than honor him, with the first fruits of our increase, well, the first fruits go to someone else, and then, you know, then we're supposed to take some and give it to the 501c3 corporation, still honoring the idol and the image, because that 501c3 corporation belongs to the state too, who has already taken the first fruits of our increase, so we're going to give it more. That's right. We're going to give it more. And while those that are out there that are truly honoring him, well, they're not even thought about because, well, I can't deduct it from my income taxes, can I? That's right. If you give to his servants, you can't deduct it from your income tax. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. They don't allow that. So in all your ways, yes, okay, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, the promise. So your barns shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So honor him with all your substance. And does everything you have, does it honor him? Well, you know, that would take some examination to look at all of the substance. That the substance is the things that you own. Do those things honor him? And if they don't honor him, well, what do you need to do? Well, you need to get rid of them and perhaps get some things that do honor him, or just keep the things that honor him. If it doesn't honor him, then we need to throw it off. I mean, Yeshua said, if your hand causes you to offend, causes you to sin, to cut it off, well, how much more things? And we don't have to actually, you know, suffer pain by cutting those off, but you get the illustration was severe. And the illustration was to draw the importance of the object of cutting off things that cause you to sin. If you're to pluck out your eye, if it causes you to break his commandments and cast it from you, because he said it would be better to enter the kingdom blind. That's right, enter the kingdom, not go to heaven when you die, but enter the kingdom now blind. It would be better to go through enter the kingdom and spend the rest of your life in his kingdom blind, than that your both body and soul be cast into hell. That's what he said. Those are the words. Honor Yahuwah, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So if you're giving your first fruits to someone else, perhaps it's time to make a change. Perhaps you're caught in that net that we discussed yesterday, and a little bit more today, and you can't free yourself immediately because, the beast wouldn't like it if you withheld the first fruits that you've agreed to give to it, because you've entered into agreement. You've said to that image that they set up called Social Security, when you signed an agreement for benefits, you said to them, I am incompetent. That's right. You signed an agreement of incompetency, and you said, I need you to take care of me and manage my affairs. So I'm going to do whatever you say. You get the first fruits of all my increase. That's right. So that you can manage them. And because you're wise and benevolent, you'll let me have a portion to live on. And that way I don't have to worry should anything bad happen. Or when I get old and want to retire, you'll send me money every month when your system no longer needs me. That's the agreement you sign. You sign an incompetency agreement. And you've become fully entangled in this thing. You're in the net, and you're fully entangled in it. And unless you acknowledge that you are entangled in it, you ain't going to get out. Some people want to stay in the net. They want all the benefits that come with the net, but they don't want to pay. Well, then they usually end up in prison. No, you got to throw it off. You got to forget their benefits, and you got to wisely untangle yourself from the net. That's my illustration for you. The illustration I get from Proverbs, where it says, surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. Well, they spread the net. We walked right in, didn't we? Because that's what we were trained to do. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahuwah. Yeah, despise not the chastening. He names the Creator here. And of course it says, the Lord in the King James translation. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And I say it enough that, yes, I want him to correct me. And if I don't heed his correction, I want him to chasten me. I don't care what it takes. I want to learn obedience because I do want to stay in his kingdom. I want to persevere in his kingdom for the rest of this life so that I can remain in his kingdom forever. So it's very important that we do not despise the chastening of Yahuwah, neither be weary of his correction. For whom Yahuwah, our Creator, loveth, he corrects. If we invite him, if we repent and we say, write your law upon my heart, I've been doing wicked things, but I want to live. I now choose by faith to live a life of obedience to you. Please help me. You know what? Love. That's what. He loves you. When you come to him and you say, I want to live my life to please you. I want to love you and love my neighbor as myself according to your commandments. He loves you. That's right. And he will correct you. And he will chasten you. He loves me. And that's why I know he's going to answer my prayer when I pray, you know, correct me, Father. And if I don't heed your correcting, chastise me. Whatever it takes, never let me go. Please, please have mercy on me. I don't want to lose my life. I want to live forever in your kingdom. The other option is not viable for me. It's not an option at all, you know. I want that long life and peace, that long death and anguish. It just does not sound attractive to me. I concede. I surrender. I give. I believe. I will do whatever you want me to do. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delights. You delight in your children? You love your children, then you need to correct them and chastise them as necessary, regardless of what the world says, regardless of the wisdom of men. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You want to be happy? The world is just looking for happiness. You know, and there's that great document that says, in the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. Well, I found it. Here it is. Happy. Happiness. You want happiness? Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I'm happy, man. I'm a happy man. I've found wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise itself. He said, seek it as silver. Seek it as hidden treasure. And here he says, the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. Well, you know, it's okay to have silver. It's okay, but there's something better. Yeah, something better than silver. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Yeah, get wisdom, find wisdom, get understanding. Make it a priority in your life. Young men out there, priority one. Seek first the kingdom of God. Find wisdom. Get understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. You ain't going to find it at a university pursuing a career so that you can be a slave for the masters for the rest of your life. That's what they're selling you. Of course, they dress it all up as you're going to get all these things, and you're going to live large in the world. But here's the better. Here's, you want happiness and you want merchandise that's better than the riches of the world, better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. It's better than that. She, and personifying wisdom again, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Doesn't matter. You know, the big screen TV, the fame, the riches, the big mansion, and all of those things that you're willing to become a slave for the rest of your life for? Even if you could get them free and clear. And you may get them free and clear, and you may not. But he says, she is more precious than rubies. Yes, wisdom and understanding. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you can desire not to be compared with her. Nothing compares to the riches of the wisdom, knowledge and understanding that our Heavenly Father wishes to impart to us. Nothing can compare with it. The merchandise of anything is not better than that. The riches that he wants to impart to us are greater than any gain that this life has to offer. Length of days are in her right hand. Full days. You want to live a full life? Or you want to be taking drugs? You want to be in pain and suffering? You want to be worried about, how you're going to pay the bills? You become a slave. And your masters have bogged you down so bad that you don't even know how you're going to pay them. How you're going to pay your credit card payments and the IRS is after you and you're going to lose your job what's going to happen next. Oh, those are miserable days. He says length of days, fullness of days is in her right hand. Yes, with his wisdom, his understanding, with the knowledge that he wants to impart to you when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he says, I'll provide everything you need. All these things will be added to you. You don't have to pursue the things. You don't have to worry. There's no heavy burden. He said, come on, come to me. All you are heavy laden and I will give you rest. All of you young people out there, you're getting to the end of high school and your parents are looking at colleges sending you off and you're worried about it. Oh, and you look at the world situation, you see college graduates working at McDonald's, and you're going, wow, is this all the world has to offer? This dog-eat-dog situation? The only way I can elevate myself is to step on somebody else and keep others downtrodden? Is this it? No, that isn't it. He says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will provide everything you need. Acknowledge me in all your ways. Exclude nothing. No counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You go to the counsel of his word. And if you don't understand it, go to the counsel of godly men. Seek him with all your heart. You will find him. He wants you to find him. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You want peace in the world? Here it is. Come and get it. You want happiness? Here it is. Riches and honor. This is it. Not to be compared with the riches and the honor of the world. Not to be compared with all of the things that you can desire. Cannot be compared to what our Heavenly Father wants to give you. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Seek her. Seek wisdom. Seek godly wisdom, seek godly understanding, lay hold of it. Don't let go. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retains her. That means you don't let go. That's right. You want to be happy? Lay hold. She is a tree of life to those that lay hold of her. Godly wisdom, godly understanding, righteousness, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. You don't let go. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. And this is what you're laying hold of. This is what he has done by wisdom. He founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall you walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. I love that. I'm not afraid. I have nothing to fear. I lay down, and my sleep is sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear. I mentioned sudden fear yesterday, thinking of this verse. When you look in your rear view mirror, and you see the you know, the police car behind you, you know, that sudden fear, or you get a letter, you see a letter in your mailbox from the IRS, that sudden fear. And sudden fear can come in many forms. You know, it could be a loud noise, whatever, a sudden fear. You know what I'm talking about. We've all felt that sudden fear. It doesn't say that you won't feel the sudden fear. It just says, be not afraid of sudden fear. That means keep your cool. Don't react to it. You got to keep your wits about you. Whether the fear is real or not, you cannot react in fear, because then you can't react properly in a way, in a manner that the response will be correct. So you have to practice. I mean, we get a lot of practice at being not afraid of sudden fear, because we all feel sudden fear, perhaps because something sets off our sudden fear alarm, but then we realize that there was really nothing to be afraid of, and we need to think it through. But even if the fear is real, we still need to think it through and not react to the fear. We need to keep our wits about us. So be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. And that is the destruction of the wicked. That's where desolation means wicked. I mean, it means destruction. So we're not to be afraid of sudden fear, and we're not to be afraid of the desolation or the destruction of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And we're out of time today, so that'll be a good place to pick up next time on Cross the Border.